This podcast is a production of Bridges Church. Please visit us at www.bridgeschurch.net.
Good morning, everybody. Good to see you guys. Hey, if you have your outlines, take those out. If you are online and you don't have an outline or can't get one, you might want to get something to write down verses today. There's a lot of great verses. If you've ever experienced worry, and we won't take a poll in the room, see who has ever experienced worry, but you probably have. There's some verses today that you're going to want to look at later. You're going to memorize. You want to get them in your heart. So I advise you as much as possible, counsel you, give you a suggestion. Get this down today. And then be able to go to God's word and say, God, I've dealt with this. I'm looking at these things, and let him speak to you. I'm excited. We're starting a new series today. It's been a long time in the making. As was mentioned earlier today, last year, our staff, our leadership elders, our ministry team leaders, small group leaders, all got together and really asked God, what's next? What do you have for us? Where are you taking us? What do you want Bridges to look at? And we looked at everything across the board that we're doing and just examined some things and said, God, speak to us. We've already introduced to you our new mission statement, helping people find and follow Jesus. We wanted to put Jesus in the spotlight. And just say, if we can help people get to Jesus, then that solves all their issues in life. And so we'll be talking about that more later. And then we looked at our values as a church. And we examined the values that we had. And really with values, what you're doing, whether it's a church or whether it's a family, you're just looking and go, God, what have you been doing? What's there? Let's uncover those and let's explain those. Let's present those and really follow those. And our first one we already introduced to you, which is Jesus first. We want everything about Bridges to be Jesus first. Every decision, every direction, every prayer is saying, Jesus, you're first. How does everything else fall into place after that? And we introduced that to you earlier this year. And it'll be something we don't just take away, but we want to keep adding into and speaking into through the course of the year and the years to come. And then we have five total values, and we want to introduce them to you one at a time. And we're going to do one today. And our next value that we kind of put out to the team, and we worked on this as a team, is this one. It's called maximum generosity. And I want to explain that to you today. We're going to explore that over the next few weeks. And it's really made up of two words. And let's just kind of talk about those two words, introduce those. First of all, it's the word maximum. You have an idea of what maximum means. It's simply defined in this way. It's the greatest or most complete or best possible. It's the best you can do in anything, right? There's a maximum effort that you can give. There's a maximum love that you can give. There's a maximum peace that you can have. In human life, there are maximums, right? There's a limit to what we can experience here on the earth. Now, in heaven, everything will be opened up. But a maximum is simply saying, this is everything I have. This is the best. This is the most complete that I have. And then putting that together with generosity, which is defined this way, it's a willingness to give help or support, especially more than is usual. So in generosity, it's this idea, I'm going to give of myself in every area of my life, every effort I can give, every help I can give, every support I can give to other people. So it's really built around this idea of going above and beyond in our life. And you say, as human beings, as followers of Jesus, we want to give maximum generosity to people around us. Now, your first thought, and most people's thought, is we're talking about generosity, it's going to think about money. But it's more than money, much more than money. Sometimes we think about time. Well, it is about time and giving of our time, but it's more than time. It's more than our attention that we give to people. It's this other-centered idea that I am here, God has blessed me to be a blessing in every area of my life, that I'm here to pour my life into other people to the maximum ability that God has given me, plus whatever he can add in there. It's about saying, here's my love, God, I want to give this away. Everything that I have, God, it's for you to use. And when we talk about maximum generosity, we're really talking about giving everything to God and his kingdom. God has poured into us. We want to say, we want to give everything to you, God, and see your kingdom expanded. So it's a mindset. It's an attitude. It's a lifestyle of just saying, God, use me in any way possible, and I want to give what you've given to me. Now, our key verse for this is from Matthew chapter 10, verse 8. We'll come back to these verses, but here's one to think about. These are the words of Jesus. And it's really simple. He said to his followers, freely you have received, freely give. And to give you the context of these verses, it was on the eve of sending them out on a practice missionary journey. So he had his 12, and you can see this in Matthew, you can see it in Luke and Mark, all three of them give accounts of this. He's getting ready to send them out. And he goes, I want you to practice preaching. I want you to practice sharing the good news of the kingdom. And I only want you to go to people of your same culture. We'll figure out the other cultures later. Let's make this easy. And here's what I want you to do. And better yet, here's what I don't want you to do. I don't want you to take anything with you. Don't take any food. Don't take any extra clothes. Don't take any money. Don't even take a walking stick. And you're just going to go in pairs, and I'm going to send you out to preach about the kingdom, go share about what you've learned. And as you go, you're going to count on the generosity of other people. You're going to count on your Father God opening houses for you because you got no place to stay. You're going to count on God to make sure that you're fed while you're on the way. You're going to count on God to give you the strength to go to where you're going. And when you do this, you're going to see your Father work. And all I want you to do is take what you're given as you freely receive it, the gospel message, and your acceptance by your Father and the love. And I want you to give that away. As you've received it, give it away. And he said, now go. And they went out. We don't know what happened. This is one of the things about the Bible. It doesn't tell us what happened. All we know is when they got back, they were filled with joy. And they talked about and told stories. We don't know the stories. We just know they just expressed this is what God did while we were out there. He took care of us. He met our needs. It must have been a great, great party. They go, this is what God did. They had all these God stories to share. And they probably came back and said, look, everything that we received from God was just huge and amazing. And they probably talked for years about this, how they went by faith. And as they went, God said, here, I'll take care of you. Here's a place to stay. Here's somebody that's going to feed you. You don't even know who they are. They're just going to welcome you. And they told those stories for years, I bet. And it's something we want to see in our lives too. As God works in us to take care of us, we want to see that happen. Now, generosity is something that we all appreciate in other people, right? If I ask you today, name the three most generous people in your life, you could come up with a name of three people, right? You could come up with three, at least three, because it stands out in our world. You could name people that give their time to you, and they just listen, and they just sit there and go, okay, I'm here for you. You could name people that do for you, and they go above and beyond. They're just always there. They're friends. You could talk about people who have bought dinners for you or given you things. You all know people that are generous in your family when you're growing up or now. Somebody at your work, they're just always giving. I know in our life, we have seen so many people give in so many different ways here at the church. There's amazing stories here. In our life as a family, we've just been surrounded by generous people. There was one that stood out to me only because lately, I heard his story multiple times. He recently passed away. It was a man that we knew in California. And it was just a very generous person. And when someone dies, you know how they tell the stories. And they remember the stories of his generosity. For us, it was, well, it was over 20 years ago that we were living our life. Stacy and I, we were living in an apartment. Found out we weren't pregnant. Stacy was pregnant with Ethan. And we were living in an apartment on the second floor. And then that apartment went up to a third floor, okay? It's one of those that you're split. And we found out she's pregnant. And we're going, how are we going to get everything up to the second floor with the baby and the carriage and all the bags? And those of you who have kids, you know, they come with a bunch of stuff. And so we're going, how are we going to do this? And we began looking for other places. And California, being California, was very, very expensive. And we couldn't find a place to live. And someone said, well, there's an elder at the church where Stacy was working, where we went to church. There's an elder. He has a house for rent. And the people that were there have just moved out. You should go look at it. So we went and looked at it. It was an amazing house, beautiful neighborhood, 1 mile away from the church. It had a 3-car garage, okay? We only had two, so it was more than enough, right? The third one was kind of small. It was just for stuff. And then they had a bonus room in the back, had a nice little yard, sidewalks. It was like this perfect setting. We toured it. And then we said, what are you asking for? And he gave us a number. It was like, oh, this is awesome, but we can't afford that. It was well above what we could do. So we just kind of gave up on that dream. You ever had that before? You just give up on the dream. We'll find something else. And then he called us and said, what can you pay? And so how do you answer that question? You know, we can pay a dollar. I mean, no, we told him, this is what we can pay based on where we are. And he says, okay, you can do that. We lived there for 4 years. It was just an amazing journey. It even came with a landscaping crew. I mean, didn't have to cut grass for 4 years. And they came and they took care of it. We had people over. It was a perfect house, a bonus room for Ethan and all his toys as he got older, and Micah came, and we had room for everybody. And then we moved out to move here, and he immediately rented it for an amount that I know, it, like as I did the math, he probably lost about $50,000 in 4 years. And just never said a word about that, but his the story after story about his life was here's a person that just was generous. He wanted to give to us, and he was blessed by God to have that. And to hear the stories about him, and like stories like that are just meaningful, right? As you think about people who have blessed you, you go, man, that's amazing to be on the other end of the generosity. Now, as we do this series today, we want to look at one thing and start with this one thing. It's the idea of no matter how generous we are with human beings, there is one who's more generous than any human being, and that's God the Father, how God gives to us. And so today, our focus is going to be on God's generosity to us. And I hope that you walk away today feeling encouraged. I hope that you walk away today being thankful for what you have and maybe noticing more. Because it's really easy in our culture to look around and go, this is what I'm missing, rather than going, this is what I've been blessed with. And so we want to walk away with that better feeling. To kind of get us started, I just want to look at this beginning thing, a principle to kind of know and to understand is this, is that everything, the foundational principle of this series, is that everything that we have comes from God. Everything that we have comes from God. In Psalm 89, verse 11, the psalmist writes this, "The heavens are yours, and the earth is yours, and everything in the world is yours. You created it all. God, everything belongs to you. You are the source of it." And to really begin processing that, what does that mean when everything belongs to God? One of the great things about our state here in North Carolina, we have so many cool places to go and places to visit. And if you haven't been to Biltmore House, here's my commercial for it. It's an incredible place to go. It's absolutely beautiful. It's this gorgeous house, but if you know the story behind it, it's kind of special. George Vanderbilt, who was a young man, had lots of money inherited. He and his mom were experiencing a time in New York where her health was bad, his wasn't great, and they came down the mountains of North Carolina where people would go to get the clean air, the fresh air, and just get away and kind of restore their health. And they came down on a train, and they kind of explored a little bit. His mom was kind of staying in hotel a little bit more than him, and he went out and explored. And he came across this place, and the trees were kind of thin there, and he was able to look. 17 miles away was Mount Pisgah. If you've ever been in that part of the country, you know how beautiful it is. And he began to dream about what it would be like to live there. And that particular place where he was standing had a perfect view. And so he went home, he began to gather his resources, went back, hired a lawyer, and began to buy up the land. All the land between where he was and Mount Pisgah. And when he designed the house, it was designed and it was placed a certain level. They built towers to see what it looked like before they built it, to look directly out toward Mount Pisgah. And his bedroom and his back deck are all built so he had this perfect view of Mount Pisgah, and he owned all 17 miles between his house and this mountain. And his dream was that every day he'd walk out, maybe with his cup of coffee, and just sit on the deck and look out at this beautiful vista, and there's Mount Pisgah. Now, I don't know if God has a back porch. You know, I don't know what it would look like. Can you imagine God sitting on his back porch and going, there's the universe, and that's mine, and I own every bit of it, including that 17 miles that Mr. George Vanderbilt had, that's all mine. And every day, he sees the glory of what he produced and what he created, and it all belongs to God. Every bit of it, every square inch of it belongs to him. Later in the Psalms, the psalmist writes this, "For every animal of the forest is mine," God says. Every animal that you see as you drive around this beautiful area that we live in, and the cattle on 1,000 hills, if you've ever worried about money, God says, I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. It all belongs to me. I know every bird in the mountains, and the insects in the field are mine. Sometimes we wish he had a little fewer of those, right, at certain times of the year, but this is what God owns. Then he says, if I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you, for the world is mine and all that is in it. I don't need to tell you I'm hungry. I own it all. God owns every bit of it. When he put Adam and Eve, the first human beings in the beautiful world he created, he says, I just want you to take care of it. You don't need to own it. You can use it for a while. But I just want you to take care of this beautiful thing that I've given you. And that's where we start. As you look around the world today, in this room or anywhere you go, begin to think that this belongs to God. This is his. Everything I see is his. Everything I'll ever experience is his. Everything I ever have is his. It's not mine, it's God's. But God's extremely generous to us. And today I want to talk about three components of his generosity to us as we begin to change our thinking, maybe how we see things. First thing on your outline, three key components of what does this mean of God's generosity to us. Number one is that God has given us everything we need to live. He's given us everything that we need to live just for life itself. Everything that you need to live, he has given to you. And it's amazing that we live in a world where we have everything that we need. Psalm 145, verses 15 and 16, the psalmist writes, the eyes of all who look to you in hope. If you've ever worried about money, ever worried about where next food is going to come from, ever worried about having to make the next payment, the eyes of all who look to you in hope. We look to God in hope. And God says, through his word, you give them their food as they need it. When you open your hand, you satisfy the hunger and thirst of every living thing. I always have wondered, why do we live in a solar system? Why didn't God just make one planet? Why do we need to see anything else? One, it suggests the glory of God. And as we explore all the other planets around us, what we're finding is this is the only place that will support life. The only one that has an atmosphere that supports life, the only one that has enough water to support life, the only one that has the right gravity to support life, the only one that actually has living creatures on it. And you think about it, everything is here for us as we need it. Vegetables. Those who don't like vegetables, they're still good for you, right? They're here. Fruits. You have meats here. You have milk. You have all the things that you need to eat and to live. And God placed them here for us. Jesus put it this way in Matthew 6, verses 25 and 26. He says, that's why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. If you worry and are anxious, and I deal with it too, Jesus said, I want you to stop worrying. Stop worrying now about taking care of yourself. Whether you have enough food or drink, the basics in life, stop worrying about it. Or if you have enough clothes to wear, isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Isn't there more to life than those things? Then he says, look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And here's the kicker. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? In other words, God sees the birds, every one of them. He pays attention to them. He knows when a sparrow falls. And he goes, you're more valuable than that. I was reading the other day about birds in the world. There are birds on all seven continents. I didn't know that. There's a peregrine falcon. They're the type of peregrine falcon on every continent, even Antarctica, which kind of blew me away. Anywhere a human being can go naturally in nature here on the earth, a bird can go further. There is a vulture that goes 37,000 feet in the air. Now, that's up where the jets are, okay? Everest, Mount Everest, tallest mountain, just under 30,000. There's a bird that goes higher. There are cormorants that can swim deeper than any human being. They can stay underwater for 3 minutes. There are penguins that go down deeper than human beings can go. Anywhere you're going to go, there can be a bird. Why? So that when you go through life and you're worried about life, God says, here's an object lesson for you. Notice the birds. Look at the birds. I take care of them. Why are you worried? I took care of that bird. I made them to exist in this world. Why are you worried? I take care of them. I'll take care of you. Some people might say, well, you know what? I work hard. I buy my own stuff. I have my own job. I worked hard to get it. I'm the source of it. I've made this happen for me. I'm a self-made person. If I stopped, it would stop. And what would be God's answer to that? Well, King David was a person that rose up from absolutely nothing as a shepherd to be a king of a nation. And at the dedication of the temple, he said to all the people in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, he says, look, Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty. Everything in the heavens and on earth is yours, O Lord. And this is your kingdom, not mine. We adore you as the one who is over all things. And then he says this, wealth and honor come from you alone. If you have wealth or honor, it's from God. For you rule over everything, God. Power and might are in your hand, and at your discretion, people are made great and given strength. David goes, I didn't do this. You did this. I didn't become king. You gave it to me. You gave me the opportunities. You opened the doors. You made it happen, God. It belongs to you. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, Moses says to the people, but remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. He gave you the intelligence to do that. He opened the door for you to do that. He gave you the abilities, the talents to do that. He brought people around you. He gave you the interest. All that was put into you when you were created. And it's just recognizing that. If you have more than somebody else, it's not because you're greater than someone else. It's because God has given you that opportunity to experience that. If you ever travel to other nations and you can see what other people live like, you come back and go, my goodness, we are blessed. And even those people in those circumstances are taken care of by God. We don't deserve any of it. He's the one that makes it happen. And then when you look around, God makes this other promise. And if you're kind of like not sure right now, like you're feeling a little bit inadequate or not sure, look at this promise from Philippians chapter 4. Paul's writing, it says, my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. That covers everything. If right now you're going, okay, well, I've got food and stuff, but I don't have any friends, it says God says he'll provide that need for you to have relationships. If you're without peace right now, and that's vital to life, right, and hope, Paul's saying through the Holy Spirit, he'll provide that for you. If you're looking for a dream because you're not sure where your life is going, God will produce that for you. If you're looking for restoration, God will meet that need for you. If you're looking for forgiveness, he'll meet that need. There's not a need that we have that God can't meet. And that is a promise that we need to hold on to when we're kind of stuck in a place going, I feel a need for, then you stop and go, God, you're in control. God, you know my need. You have promised to meet it. I need you to work in my life. And I want to see this promise fulfilled. And God says, I will meet every need of yours according to my riches in Christ Jesus. That's a powerful promise. Something that should build us up every single day and say, I am good because God is good. Well, that's the first component. Second component is this. God has given us everything we need to enjoy life. Not just to have what we need, but to enjoy what we've been given. And that's a powerful thing. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17, Paul writes, command those who are rich in this present world, which if we're in America, we're in the top 98 percentile of the world. There's only like 2% more for most of us. He says, who are rich in this present world, not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything we need for our enjoyment. In other words, there's nothing that you need beyond what God has given you, because things will not make you happy. He has given you everything you need to enjoy life. The question is, do we recognize it? And do we take joy in it? One of the things I love about this is we're all different, right? But there's some things we share in common. When God made you, he put some cool things inside of you. Maybe you know these things. Dopamine, you guys know what that is, like the joy thing that kicks in. Serotonin, endorphins, these are the things that produce the feeling of joy in us when things happen. And God made us that way. Those of you that are parents, you see your children, and you give them something, you see their face light up. Doesn't that make you feel good? No matter how old your kids are, you just want to see them doing well. Well, God does the same thing. He gives us stuff so we can enjoy it. I'm going to do a quick survey here just to kind of see who I'm talking to. So I'm going to go through several categories, all right? How many guys are foodies in here? You love food. Okay, no judgment here. Foodies. Isn't it cool that God put food here? I mean, did you ever think about that? What if God only put asparagus here? We'd be in trouble, right? You would be in a lot of trouble. Those that are foodies are going, man, this is good. You talk about food. All the different spices, all the varieties, all the different ethnic dishes. Don't you get excited about that? You love to talk about it. We love to go to restaurants. We love a good meal if you're a foodie. That's awesome. So for you foodies, you should be going, man, God gave us a great world. I get to enjoy this. This is awesome. I just get joy from that. How many people are in here are story people? You love a good story. Okay, look at you. Most people love a good story, right? Isn't it cool how many stories are out there? Just you ask a person their life and they'll tell you a good story, right? We get to read. Some of you guys love to read stories. You love to watch stories. The Bible is full of stories. And you get to read them, go, that's really cool. And you take them away with you, and that's awesome. How many of you guys are music lovers, whether you can sing or not? In music, I mean, why is there music? There is absolutely no reason to have music, right? It doesn't do anything but give you joy. It gives you joy, right? Even country music for some of you, which, you know, you love that. Different kinds of music for different people. It still gives you joy. How many guys are outdoor people? Outdoor people, where are you? Some of you guys are a lot of different categories. That's awesome. A walk in the woods is a gift from God. We have so many beautiful things here. Go to the ocean, right? Do you ever feel joy at the ocean? How about the mountains? Standing by a waterfall, the flowers coming up in the spring, fresh air. I mean, these are things that produce joy, and God could have just made this a very barren place. He's going, I gave you this to enjoy. Go enjoy it. How many people are people people? You love people. A lot fewer than foodie people. You people people, you love people, right? You just love being around people, and you go, this is awesome. You get to meet new people. This is wonderful, and you meet all kinds of cool people. Every one of them is a gift to you. How many guys are like, not necessarily people people. You like your quiet. You like to be quiet. All right, God gives you a lot of areas to be quiet, right? And you go be quiet, and you can just relax, and you can be there and enjoy it. Do you ever stop and say, God, thank you for this? Thank you that I get to enjoy life? No matter what situation you're in, I imagine you can find something to be joyful about. And then there's more. How many guys like athletics or working out or anything like that? Okay, less than the foodie people, right? You ever experience that runner's high that you get? Like if you do a certain amount and you just feel good, the endorphins kick in before the pain kicks in or sometimes just after. That's from God. And then you feel better. All of that's from God. You were created not to exist, not just to exist, but to enjoy life. And if you enjoy smiling or laughing, that's part of the joy as well. James 1:17 says this, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, from whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. I mean, God doesn't change. He never changes. He just loves pouring good gifts into our lives, every good gift. Spiritual gifts, which we'll talk about later, which are those things that you're able to do for other people supernaturally through the Holy Spirit, that's a gift from God. He says, use this for other people. One of my favorite things is God moments. You guys know what a God moment is? When you're just going through life and suddenly a prayer gets answered and it hits you that God has been listening and there's just a moment where it's like, I'm overwhelmed with the goodness of God. Have you ever been somewhere and you're reading the Bible or you're listening and you have a problem and someone speaks directly into that problem and it looks like a coincidence? You know what I'm talking about? And you're like, that's exactly what I needed to hear for that day, that moment, and you'll never forget it. That is a gift from God. It's a perfect gift from God at that moment and just blows you away. Have you ever been somewhere and you've been dreaming about it for a long time and you're there and you just soak it in? And that is a God moment. You're standing in front of a waterfall and it's just like, that is a God moment. You have a moment with a child and it's like perfect. And you go, that's a God moment. You have a moment with a spouse or a good, good friend. And it's like, that is a God moment. Recognizing those things. You know, this fall, I was able to take a bicycle trip from here to the ocean. And people ask me, would you do it again? I go, no, I don't want to do that again. But not for the reason that you're thinking, not because it was a long way. It's because it was perfect. It was like an absolute gift from God. Like every moment was perfect. It's hard to describe. It really is. And there was a moment when I've shared with you guys, and I hate that I get emotional, so just look past it, okay? But there was a time when we were riding a bike in the middle of Chatham County, which I don't even know where it was, and I was listening to the worship service. And it was like perfect. And I was just crying. I was just like, oh God, I don't deserve this. I don't deserve this. And it was like overwhelming. And I hope that you have that kind of experience somewhere. I wish I experienced it without crying. I wish it was like laughing kind of stuff. God made me this way. I finally gave in. I go, God, you're going to make me cry. I'll get through it. People have to excuse that. But it's like when I hit that moment, it's just like pure joy. It's impossible for me to describe to people. It's just an overwhelming sense of God's presence. And that is a gift. He doesn't have to do that, right? He absolutely doesn't have to do this. He does not have to give you joy upon joy. But he says, I want you to enjoy it. Because I love you. And here's a gift. Every good thing that we have is from God to enjoy life. And so look at those moments. Write those things down. Don't ever forget them. And go, God, you gave that to me. Well, the third component, the last component is this. God has given us probably the most important thing we could ever think of. Everything we need for eternal life. Everything we need for eternal life. And this is the one we as Christ followers don't pay enough attention to. I think it just gets ingrained to us. Yeah, I got it. Heaven. This week I was talking to a good friend whose mother is in hospice, and she was like the glue that held everybody together. And he's a follower of Jesus. He's hurting for her. She's full of strength. She wants to go but not go. And so they're with her a lot. And so he and I were talking on the phone, and I was praying with him, and it was like he was going to me. And we were talking about the hope that he has, that her time here is ending. They're going to miss her, but the hope that he has and she has, that she's about to go to heaven and see Jesus, and all of it's going to be restored and made better. And so there was like a type of joy there. For only followers of Jesus can understand, there is more to this life. Even non-believers, I think, get it. There is more to this life. You talk to atheists, they even hope for something more. We all hope for something more. And in the fact that we know Jesus, there is a hope there. Ephesians chapter 2, 8, 9 says this, for by grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works that no one can boast. Isn't that amazing? God says, I want you with me forever. So I'm going to give you a gift, the gift of salvation. You can't work for it. You can't be good enough. You can't work long enough. Here it is. All you have to do is receive it by faith. It's a life beyond this one. There's no more pain or suffering or sorrow. There's something to look forward to. Here it is. I give it to you. The God of the universe, who owes us absolutely nothing, says, I want to give you the one thing you can't do, which is eternal life. Most of us know John 3:16, right? The gospel in a sentence. Slow down and read it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, his most precious thing in the universe. He had already given us everything else. Now here's the one thing that he loves more than anything else, his own son. That whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. That's the gift. That's how generous God the Father is. He said, I've given you everything. I've given you a universe to live in, to look at. I've given you every need that you ever have. I'm going to give you joy to experience it. Now let me give you one more thing on top of that, eternity with me. I just want you to receive it. That's how generous God is to us. That's maximum generosity lived out in the God who loves us completely. And I think about what's our response to that. What's the only thing that we can do? You can't earn it. You can't pay it back. The only thing that we can do is have gratitude. That's our response, is gratitude. Just thank you. Thank you, God, for who you are and what you do and your maximum generosity. To close up today, I want to close with a verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 11. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, meaning God's going to give you everything you need and beyond so that you can go be generous, which through us will produce what? Thanksgiving to God. So I want to be generous to you so you have more than enough so you can go give it away, not just money, but time and energy and encouragement and forgiveness and mercy, all the things you've received. I'm going to give it to you so you can give it away so that we can have Thanksgiving. Each week we're going to ask you to consider doing something as kind of an application. This week what we're going to ask you to do is we're going to give you this little gratitude journal. You'll get it on the way out. It's a real simple little thing, and This is for you. You're not going to bring it back or anything like that. But we're going to ask you to do this, two things. One, for the next 7 days, just start writing things down that you're thankful for. When you notice it, write it down. Or at the end of the day, go through and fill it out. This is what God did. This was a God moment. This is the food he provided. This is what I have. If you're at home and don't have anything, just do it on your phone in the note card or just make your own. It's really simple. You can do it for more than 7 days. Just write things down. Notice them. And then notice the change that happens in your life when you do that. See if it doesn't begin to change you from looking at what you don't have to what you do have. And see if it doesn't change the level of enjoyment that you have in your life too. And see if God doesn't work through it to show you even more things that you have than you ever thought. And then the second thing we're going to ask you to do, if there's a story, if there's something you want us to know that you're learning, that God's teaching you, just email us, write it down and let us know. God has shown me this. God taught me this. This is the things that I saw that I never saw before. And let us know so we can share these stories with other people to encourage them. God showed us maximum generosity in giving us everything. And then he went beyond, above and beyond and gave us his son. And we are blessed for that. So let's pray together. Father God, I thank you for those things that just overwhelm us with your presence. Whether it's a simple meal that we have, a reminder that you are the God who provides. Whether it's the birds that you put into this world to show us that how much you care. Whether it's the things that we enjoy, that we just existing, we just enjoy them because you put it in our heart and then you provided that thing to meet our joy. And above all, we thank you for Jesus and who he is and what he's done and what he means to us. So Father, just continue to move in our lives. Teach us more and more what it means to be like Jesus, to develop into his character and become more and more like him in every area of our life. And we thank you for him and pray this in his name. Amen. Today, as always, we like to give you a chance to pray with people. There'll be people here. Maybe there's a need that you need to have met by God and you just haven't seen it yet. He's getting it ready and you want somebody else to be praying with you. We'd love to pray by any need that you have. For some of you, it may be the need for salvation and you haven't taken that step and you want that assurance. We'd love to talk to you about that too. And we'll be over here. I'll be around somewhere in the building. Just come find me or meet with one of our prayer counselors. We'd love to talk to you about that. Today, for communion, I want to go to the why behind everything. I like to go the why before the what. Today, I'm going the what and then the why. Here's the why of what God does. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Timothy is being written to by Paul, his mentor, and he says, "This is good and is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires that all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth." That the why that drives God is he created us to have a relationship with us. Every human being that's ever lived, God created them to say, "I want a relationship with you. I want to know you. I want you to know me. And I want you to know me and be saved." That is the heart of God. All peoples. All peoples. We still get the choice. Love requires a choice. Because that's my heart. You're here for this reason. The universe is here for this reason. So you'll choose me. When you take communion today, that's a reminder how Jesus made that possible. God sent his son so we could have this eternal relationship with him. And that's why we're here today. It's why you exist today. It's because God wants to know you forever. And he wants to be known forever by you. And Jesus made the way. So let me pray and then receive that as one more gift from God that you can know him. Let's pray. Father God, that door was closed because of our sin. And then you opened it through the blood of Christ. And we just have to walk through it and receive it. The sacrifice that was given for our sins, a price we could not pay, was given by him. And when we eat and drink, we do so in his name and in his honor. And thank you for the gift, because you wanted to know us forever. And we pray this in his name. Amen. When you're ready, receive communion.